May the Lord's Spirit be upon my lips. Amen. Please be seated. Well, the word this morning will be brief in keeping with the amount of time and energy I've had to devote to it, given the last couple of days of illness. But there is something particularly poignant here in Peter's letter to the Corinthians. We talked last week about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which Peter mentions in Corinthians. We've talked previously about Peter's correction of the worship of the Corinthians, which had become disorderly and gotten out of hand. And now Peter is reminding the Corinthians of the gospel on which they've taken their stand, and the gospel in which they've believed, that Christ died for our sins, that he was buried, on the third day he was raised again from the dead, and that he appeared first to the 12, and then to Peter, and then to 500. Now, it's this 500 which is interesting here, and which we will spend just a minute or two on today. The Greek in this scripture says 500 of the brothers. The word in Greek is adelphois. And although when we look at the Greek and concern ourselves with the accurate translation and transmission of that Greek into English, there are many instances in translations of the Bible where the singularly masculine form of the English was used, when the Greek was not gender-specific. And a common example of this is the word anthropon in Greek, which in Greek means men and women. It just means people. It's where we get our word anthropology. But it's often translated into English as men. And when those translations were done, beginning with the King James, the word men in English meant men and women. It didn't mean just men. It was not a masculine, inclusive noun. However, in the last 30 years or so, we've become very conscious about gender biases in language. And the result is that we now hear that word when it's said in English as if it is exclusively masculine, although in the English language itself it was not at one point. Nevertheless, the translation, if we were to do a translation of the Bible today and we were to translate anthropon, the accurate translation of that would be men and women, because it's really intended to be inclusive of both genders and not specific. This is a slightly different word, adelphois. And in fact, if you look at it in the Greek, the word itself is a masculine term, and it's typically translated brothers. The normal response, I think, and in fact I've seen this in some of the commentaries that I've read, of a translator in seeing that word is to say, here's a masculine Greek word which means brothers. In order to be true to the text, we must translate this into English also as brothers. In fact, that's a position I would normally take on a word which is clearly gender-specific in Greek. Whether we like it or not, we should be as true to the original text as we can in translating it into the English. However, the masculine gender of this word in Greek does not really reflect the point Paul is trying to make, and that's what's important here and that we need to look at. There are words in many languages which have either masculine or feminine articles. We look at in Spanish or French or other languages, you regularly will see chairs will be feminine and maybe a table is masculine, and great variety like that. We don't see that in English because we don't have masculine or feminine articles with our nouns. Greek is that way too. There are words in Greek which, although they are masculine words, don't necessarily imply that they refer to masculine things. What's interesting about this particular word, adelphois, is that what it actually means in its root is from the same womb. Adelphois, that word means womb, which is clearly not a masculine word. And that combined word actually means, when Paul refers to what's translated here, the brothers, In the NRSV, it would be translated brothers and sisters. What Paul is really saying is people born from the same womb. Well, clearly all 500 of these people were not the children of one mother. And so Paul is using this term in an intentional and very specific way. And what he's saying is that these are the brothers and sisters who were born again. Who were born again. And that's his point. And this word is actually used consistently throughout the New Testament in that way. And this is actually quite a revolutionary use of that term, because classical Greek writers, when they used the word adelphois, would either use it to refer to brothers or brothers and sisters. The term was used both ways. But they always, always used it specifically for people born of the same mother. It was never used as a term of community or relationship or partnership. It was always used to refer to the children of one woman. And so what Paul has done here, and what other Christians in writing in the New Testament, when they use this word adelphois, is what they have done is they have grouped together the believers as children of one womb. That's how the word is used. And so when we reflect on something like Nicodemus, when a member of the Sanhedrin, a Jew who went to see Jesus and said, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said, "You must be born again. You must be born not of the flesh, but of the Spirit." This is the sense in which this term is used. It is for those who have been born again and are now brothers and sisters by that rebirth. By that rebirth. And so, in some ways, we have done an injustice to Paul and an injustice to the writers when we exclusively translate this word as brother. In fact, there's even some injustice done when we translate it brothers and sisters, unless it's very clear that we really mean siblings in some profound, deep, spiritual sense, because that's the way it's used here, and that's the message. One of the privileges of researching text to do a sermon is the ability to do what's called exegesis, and that's what we've just done for the last 5 or 6 minutes, is exegesis. It means drawing out of the message from the text. It doesn't mean reading something into it. There's a word for that, too. That's eisegesis. But exegesis, which is to draw out the meaning of the text, is a very important thing if we were to really understand what the message is here, because our tongue, English, is very different from the tongue in which the text was written. And so we need to be careful not to dash to conclusions based simply on the English or any particular translation of the English, but to really dig deep. And we'll find that there is a whole gold mine of meaning here underneath what seems fairly simple and straightforward in English. And this is an example. So my point today is basically this, that Paul has preached the gospel to the Corinthians, as have others. They have grasped it. They have understood it. They've taken it to their hearts. And they, like we, are now included in this great collection of brothers and sisters, all who have been born again by the Holy Spirit, all of whom take Jesus as their Lord, and all of whom are also gathered together as the church, the body of Christ. I wish we had a word for this. There isn't a word which means brothers and sisters, siblings, but it's not a wonderful word. But that's really what we are, is we are siblings. And Paul is referring here to the 500 men and women, doubtless, all of whom had been born again, and all of whom Jesus appeared before after his resurrection. So if you would, just take this one word to heart and its meaning, and consider the meaning of what it means now to be brothers and sisters with all of those who are in Christ, in this church, in the present age, and throughout history. We all have that privilege of being born into the same family. Amen.